A few passages in the New Testament, Philippians chapter 4 to begin. Philippians chapter 4. Still not coming back to Hosea. I'm not real sure I'm going to do that in the near future. I've been studying it quite a bit, and it's just not the most encouraging book in the Bible. I think we need some encouragement right now. So tonight I'm going to look at a topic very briefly. We won't have much time. It's already almost 8 o'clock. But we're going to look at the topic mentioned in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, the very last word in that verse. In fact, Mrs. Dahlman mentioned part of this. Let's see. She mentioned verse 19 a little bit earlier. But the whole chapter kind of builds a context. And let me begin reading, if I could, in verse 10. Philippians 4:10. Paul says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, tonight, as we read this one simple verse with this one simple thought, we realize that there's a treasure to be found here, that if we would be able to say what Paul said, that he had learned to be content no matter what the circumstances, Lord, that we would be much more valuable to you, we would be much more satisfied in our own life, and it would change the way we serve you. Lord, tonight, help us to understand what it means to be content, and help us to understand that we can be content. Help us to understand that those things that might keep us from being content and to avoid them. And we pray tonight, Lord, that you would hear each of the prayer requests that were named just now. Lord, we come before you. You told us to come boldly under the throne of grace that we could obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You promised us if we would ask, that we would receive, if we would seek, we would find, if we would knock, it would be opened. You told us that we could come before you, that we could cast our care upon you because you care for us. And you promised us that you would give us that peace that passes understanding when we bring our needs before you and we're careful for nothing. So, Lord, tonight, with these promises in hand, we come before you and we pray for each of these requests. We pray for our church, for other churches, for other people that are serving you, churches in our area and churches around the world. That we know that need your blessings. And Lord, tonight, for these next few moments, just give us clear direction. Help us to have ears to hear. Help us not to be distracted. I pray that you'd be a blessing to us now in a way that would be clear and obvious. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Paul makes a very bold statement here. He says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And we used to joke around that with that, and we'd say, even in the state of Utah, you can be content. Or that's not the kind of state he's talking about. We used to use that term in computing to describe all of the situation, all the variables and all the conditions. And when you sum it all up, that's your state. Whatever your bank balance is, whatever your needs are, whatever your problems are, whatever your blessings are, when you add all that up, that's your state. That's your present circumstance. And Paul said, whatever my state, he said, in fact, he goes on and explains it there in verse 12. He says, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Paul makes a bold statement here, and what he says is, I can be content even when the circumstances are not what I might want. In other words, I have learned that I can be content, and there's a reason for that, and we'll talk about that here in just a minute. Let me read you a couple of Old Testament verses that I think really help us with this thought. Proverbs 19:23 says, "The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil." So that satisfaction has to do with contentment and vice versa. And the fear of the Lord is a foundation for that. In other words, if we live a life that disregards the Lord, or we don't care what the Lord wants, or if we say, I don't care what God's will is in my life, I have my own will, and that's the way I'm going. And if it happens to coincide with God's will, that's fine, but I've got my priorities and I've got my plans and I want what I want. That is not a good way to be content, would you agree? And whereas if we allow the Lord to guide our life, we can be content. And I'll let the secret out there, and that's because we can trust him. Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity." In other words, if you have to constantly see things getting better, if you have to constantly see things improving, if you have to constantly see the bank balance going up, if you have to constantly see the health condition getting better, if that's your basis for satisfaction, you're never going to be satisfied. Amen. Our basis for satisfaction is not in those things. It ought to be in the Lord, because he doesn't change. Amen? And the quantity of the Lord is always sufficient. Desire can destroy our walk with God. Wanting things that God has withheld can make us bitter. It can cause us to waste our time trying to obtain what God has not provided. I got an email today from Eric Ramos. Most of you probably don't know who he is. He never has preached here in our church, I don't think. You really would enjoy hearing him. He and I used to joke around. He would come to Maryland and preach for me, and I'd be out of town. And I did this three or four times, and he said to me one time, he says, "Why is it every time I come to preach, you leave town? Don't you like my preaching?" And I said, no, you got it all wrong. I said, "You're the only guy I can trust in the pulpit when I'm gone. That's the reason I let you come preach when I'm not in town, because I know you're going to do a good job. You're not going to break anything and not going to say anything wrong." And so he sent out an email today talking about Achan back in Joshua. Remember Achan who took the accursed thing? Now think about this. Achan was a man that had a desire. And he saw some things that God said they are forbidden. And his desire outweighed his fear of God's command, and he took what he shouldn't have taken. And it cost him, didn't it? I could preach that whole message, and that'd be enough right there. But just think about that. There are some things that we can desire, and we may say, that's what I want. I want that possession, or I want that experience, or I want that circumstance, or I want that whatever. And remember, the question is not what do I want, the question is what does God want? And if I decide I want, and God says that's not what you're supposed to want, or I don't want that for you, or you can't have that, and I get to button heads with God, it's not going to be a happy life, is it? And so we've got to be very careful. So if we keep trusting in getting what we want, and that's going to make us content, that's not going to happen. Desire can destroy our walk with God. The definition of content, I probably don't need to tell you this, but just make it a little clearer. To be content is to be satisfied, to have a quietness of mind, satisfied with what you presently have. For example, that, you know, you think about contentment, and probably tonight all of us have had our dinner already. And usually when we eat until we're somewhat full. Sometimes we keep on eating if it's really good food and we're over full, like Thanksgiving. But you understand the difference in being hungry and being satisfied. To be satisfied is to be content. So can we say, I am content right now with the situation that God has me in? And if we can't, we ought to dig into that a little bit, shouldn't we? Let me show you two or three things here, and I'm already out of time, but let's just look at a few verses. Flip over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. If you're in Philippians, you're awful close. Just keep going. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We learned in Philippians 11 and 12, 4, 11 and 12, that contentment does not depend upon abundance, or it does not depend upon even an absence of suffering. You can be content in times of suffering, because Paul said he'd learned to be content even when he was abased. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, we'll look at two or three verses here. I want to begin reading in verse 6. 1 Timothy 6, 6. Paul says to Timothy, "Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content." Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. You know, if you're dressed warmly, and in Phoenix that's not too hard sometimes, and if you're not starving, everything's okay. Amen. Say, "Pastor, but there's so much more." That's not what the verse says. Amen. He says, "Having food and raiment, therewith be content." Do you realize, and I have to remind myself this too, could God give you just about anything right now? Amen. You know, you walk up to the mailbox, could there be a check in the mailbox? Oh, yeah. The other day I was at a work site, and it was about 7 in the morning, and I rarely eat breakfast anyway, but I was a little bit hungry, and not much, just a little bit. It's about 7 in the morning, and the forklift driver comes over to me, and he says, "Hey," he says, "the owner lets us buy breakfast every day. What do you want?" "Ah, chorizo and egg." And that's my favorite. And they got me a big old chorizo and egg burrito and a bottle of orange juice. And folks, that came from God. Amen. Amen? God can do that all the time. Anytime you get something like, Friday? I think it was Friday we had Chick-fil-A. Monday. Okay, there's my mind is not as good as it used to be. But that came from God. On behalf of Mrs. Dahlman's birthday, but it still came from God. Amen? Last Friday, Brother Mendez, why is this always about food? I don't know why. Brother Mendez took us all out to Tasty Asian for dinner. Praise the Lord. That came from God. Amen? Amen? Doesn't God give us things all the time? Amen. And could God give you something that you need tomorrow? Yes. Is it not true that God meets our needs? Amen. We saw that in Philippians. So Paul says to Timothy, and I won't even explain all the context there, but he says this. He says, "Having food and raiment, therewith be content." In verse 7, he talks about there's no need to accumulate things. You can't take them with you when you die anyway. But verse 6 is the biggest one of all. He says, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." It's interesting. Gain doesn't produce contentment. Contentment produces gain. And the fact of the matter is, if you're satisfied with what you got, everything's okay. Amen. Because, folks, God can take care of whatever you need. It's when we get those desires that are above and beyond what God wants for our life, or different from what God wants for our life, or things that God doesn't want for our life, that's when we start to have problems. That's when our contentment begins to be sacrificed. I have to do this. You need to do this. I think we ought to sit down and ask ourselves, can we say to God, "I am content"? Now, there are some things that Paul said he had a continual heaviness and sorrow in his heart. Do you remember why? Anybody remember why? He said he wanted to see Israel saved. I paraphrase that, but he said that his kinsmen would be saved. I'm not content that my relatives would die and go to hell. That's not what I'm talking about. And those are things that we long for, and those are things that the Lord Jesus Christ wept because the people wouldn't believe on him. And so I'm not talking about a silly, just exuberance that is unrealistic. But when it comes to our circumstances, what do I have today? What am I doing today? What is my life all about today? That comes from God, amen? We ought to be content with that. And then we ought to be praying for folks that aren't saved. I'm out of time. Let me show you one more verse. Hebrews 13:5, and we'll be done. Hebrews 13:5. Really not much more here than a little word study, but not so bad. The word content, by the way, comes from a Greek word, which is autarkos, which means sufficient for oneself, independent of need, or content with one's lot, with one's means, satisfied with current circumstances. And here we have Hebrews 13, verse 5. He says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for..." And when you see that word "for," that's a synonym for "because." "He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Let your conversation be without covetous. Be content with such things as you have. Our contentment is commanded. He says, be content, doesn't he? Desiring what God has withheld is covetousness, but the presence of the Lord ought to make up for whatever we don't have. Amen? Can you imagine? Have you ever thought about this? Some of the people that men tend to envy or admire that have stepped into eternity. Anytime I hear about a wealthy or a famous person stepping into eternity, about the first question I ask myself is, I wonder if they were saved or not. And then, awful sad to say, sometimes we kind of know, don't we? I hate to name anybody because I don't want to get you going, but there are some people that have been fabulously wealthy, famous, performers perhaps, technology inventors, incredibly wealthy people that stepped into eternity and died and went to hell. And you say, you know, Pastor, that person was a great person. You wouldn't want to trade with them, would you? You know, because we have something that they didn't ever have. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. And just like that, the Lord could come back. Just like that, God could change our situation. Just like that, God could meet a need. And in the meantime, you know, everything's not that bad, is it? Amen? If there's anybody here tonight that is hungry, I guarantee you someone else here will feed you. If there's anybody else here tonight that doesn't have a place to sleep, I guarantee you somebody here will find you a place to stay. Amen. If there's anybody here tonight that needs a ride home, somebody will get you a ride home. Amen. If there's anybody here tonight that needs prayer, we'll do what we can to help you. And that's just us. What about the Lord? Amen? Amen. Things really aren't so bad. What makes us, and I can't take any more time, but what keeps us from being content is we look out there and we say, I had this plan or this desire or this hope, and it doesn't look like things are going that way, and it robs us of our contentment. What we ought to be able to say, and I'm not pretending this is easy, but what we ought to be able to say is, I don't need to have any desire or plan or hope. God's got a desire for my life. God's got a plan for my life. God's got a hope for my life. And if I'm on the course he wants me to be on, everything's just fine. I was at and I'll close with this illustration and we'll finish. I was at a technical conference in Florida at Marco Island. Wow. Back in the 80s, I guess, early 80s. And they had a motivational speaker that came out. And the motivational speaker did a really good job of telling a story. And the motivational speaker was telling a story about, and I won't do it, but things were going really good for this guy, and then he wrecked his car. And then he found out that the guy that he ran into was a millionaire, and the guy bought him a new car. And then he went home, and he got this bad news, and then he got this good news, and then he got this bad news, and then he got this good news, and it was kind of like that. And the motivational speaker's point was kind of scriptural, actually, and that is, why do you let circumstances dictate how you feel? Why don't we just trust God, amen? You ask yourself that question. What is it right now that would keep me from being content? And then just go to the Lord with it. Amen? Amen. Now, I'm not saying it's easy, but it's the right thing to do, isn't it? We ought to be content. We're commanded to be content. We have, Paul said, he learned to be content. We have what we need to be content. We still pray for the folks that are lost. We still desire to see God work. But in a grand scheme of things, in God's eyes, everything ought to be okay. Amen? Amen. Let's be content. Let's all stand.